Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Improvement of people-to-people contact becomes a tension in the meeting of President Joko Widodo and Argentine President Mauricio Macri. Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said, moving capital city to lessen income inequality. Now the news in details. The Indonesian government hopes that the Argentine government can jointly improve relations between the two countries. This was stated by Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi after accompanying President Joko Widodo to accept Argentine President Mauricio Macri in Bogor Palace, West Java on Wednesday. According to Minister Retno, the Indonesian government expressed hope that the Argentine government could provide convenience for the Indonesian people who want to visit Argentina. The convenience is related to obtaining a visa that can be completed in a short time. This was responded positively by President Macri, who stated that he would make changes in the Argentine government system.
People-to-people
contact is our obstacle regarding the issue of visas. Take for example, we go to Argentina, the visa process takes long time to wait, and we have begun to discuss the truth. When President Joko Widodo immediately said, Argentine president responded immediately that their system will be reviewed. In addition to the issue of obtaining the visa, another point highlighted in the meeting of President Joko Widodo and Argentine President Mauricio Macri is related to education standardization. Regarding this matter, according to Minister Retno, the government of Indonesia and Argentine have signed a memorandum of understanding so that there is equalization in education standardization. Minister of National Development Planning and Head of Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, believes that relocating the capital city, Jakarta, away from the main island of Java will lessen income inequality among groups. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, Minister Brojonegoro said during the National Dialogue 2 towards the future capital, smart, green and beautiful in Jakarta on Wednesday, that moving the capital to alternative province will make the economy more labor-intensive. He feared that promoting a more labor-intensive economy can reduce the income gap across groups, both at the regional and national levels. A reduction in the level of income inequality is apparent from the 0.23% rise in the capital prices and a hike in labor prices by 1.37%. The rise in labor prices will be accompanied by an increase in the marginal products of labor. The sole indication that might be viewed as having a negative impact is the transfer of capital that can cause additional inflation. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Aim Fahir highlighted four crucial points deemed paramount to form modern armed forces that can support the success of the UN peacekeeping mission. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, he said on Wednesday that there are four points to be needed in the modern armed forces to support peacekeeping operations. The statement was delivered by Deputy Minister Aim Fahir in his keynote speech at an international conference on preparing modern armed forces for peacekeeping operations in the 21st century. He also explained that the first necessary aspect to establish a modern and quality peacekeeping force is an innovative and tailored mode of training that is specifically designed in tune with the mission requirements and conditions on the field. He added that peacekeepers face a dynamic environment on a daily basis and new forms of threat of asymmetrical nature service on the field. In order to cope with such scenarios, they should be imparted innovative, tailored and scenario-based training. Representatives from 28 states met at the International Conference on Preparing Modern Armed Forces for Peacekeeping Operations in the 21st Century in Jakarta on June 26 to 27, 2019, in a bid to discuss issues and challenges facing modern-day peacekeeping operations. Protections of civilians became the core of the conference co-organized by the International Committee of the Red Cross ICRC, and the Indonesian Armed Forces, TNI, with support from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. As reported by Antara News Agency, the conference puts the spotlight on the contemporary issues and challenges in modern-day peacekeeping operations, including the protection of civilians and medical services, and the role of female peacekeepers. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla had officially opened the conference on June 25, 2019. He emphasized that the UN peacekeeping is a testament to the international collaboration under the UN flag that has played a significant role to resolve various conflicts in the world. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. The Indonesian Military Forces, TNI, has planned to dispatch 4,000 personnel for the UN peacekeeping missions this year. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Chief of Staff of the General Affairs of TNI, Lieutenant General Johnny Suprianto, remarked during a conference of the International Committee of Red Cross, ICRC, on Wednesday, said that TNI has until now dispatched 2,850 peacekeepers. The personnel of TNI will be deployed in war-afflicted regions in Lebanon, the Republic of Central Africa, Congo, the United Nations Interim Security Force for ABA, in Sudan, South Sudan, and the United Nations Mission for the Referendum in Western Sahara, MINURSO, in West Sahara. The number of female personnel in the Indonesian peacekeeping forces rises to 7% from earlier 4%. North Sulawesi will hold Punaken Festival in Manado, North Sulawesi, on July 17-20, 2019. 20 tourists to visit the province that shares its maritime border with the Philippines. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Secretary of the North Sulawesi Provincial Administration, Edwin Silangin, said on Wednesday that he is optimistic that this festival would be able to attract several tourists to visit North Sulawesi and enjoy the varied attractions to be showcased during the event. The Punaken Festival is one of the events included in the 100 Wonder of Events 2019, designated by the Tourism Ministry. The tourists will witness a food festival, traditional music and dance performances live aboard the Punaken sail trip, fishing contest, coast cleanup, underwater photography competition, and triathlon. Batam Riau Island is designated as the host of an international beauty contest, Miss Tourism Worldwide 2019. Deputy for Marketing Development 1 at the Ministry of Tourism, Rizky Handayani, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that Batam as the host of the event proves that the tourism quality of Indonesia is considered to have all aspects supporting world-class tourism elements. Batam has the ability to manage large international-scale events. Antara News Agency reported, Rizky Handayani said that this World Beauty event will be attended by around 30 contestants from various countries. The contest, to be held on September 22nd at the Pacific Palace Hotel Batam, will include a talent show, cultural exchange, national costume program. Head of the Riau Island Tourism Office, Bora Limara, said that Batam as the venue for the international event will bring a variety of positive impacts, because Miss Tourism Worldwide 2019 has the potential to become the best branding media for the tourism sector. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is commentary today entitled Encouraging Young Generation to Be Farmers. Farmer profession keeps losing the interest of Indonesian youths. According to data from Central Statistics Agency, the number of workers in agriculture sector last year reached 35.7 million people, or 28.79% from 124.01 million working population. Meanwhile, in 2017, the number was 35.9 million, or 29.58% from 121.02 million working population. In terms of age, average Indonesian workers are older than 50 years old, while the interest of youths in becoming farmers is very low. The lack of interest is because the people of Indonesia still underestimate the farmer's profession. The image of farmer who gets dirty has no place in the youth's mind. Many farmers living in poverty make it further less interesting if compared to other professions like doctors and police. the decreasing number of farmers cannot be allowed, since the need of food keeps increasing, along with Indonesian ever-growing populations. This can threaten the food sovereignty. But if we want to be independent from import, keeping the existence of farmers is instrumental. Encouraging the young people to become farmers becomes priority. The first step in maintaining farmers' existence is rebranding. Agricultural technology apparently has the chance to change youth's view on farming. Modern equipment in farming needs to be applied from the upstream to the downstream, from land plowing until harvesting. However, the use of technology might reduce the number of farmers. Still, it is not a problem, because other sectors can absorb more workers. Besides productivity, technology use aims to increase the youth's interest in agriculture sector anyway. To make it come true, the government of Indonesia is now concentrating in strengthening education and manpower training. Fruits of this strategy are that now we have more students in agriculture development polytechnics. In the current bilateral meeting, New Zealand even recognized Indonesia's success in applying the strategy to attract more young people into becoming farmers. Then, what do we hope from them? The young people who study farming technology could be productive farmers instead of choosing other professions. And listener, that is our commentary today.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History. Well, we start for an event on June 27, 1954, on which Onis nuclear power plant was constructed. Onis nuclear power plant in Soviet Union became the first nuclear power plant in the world which produced 5 kilowatt electricity. 2 years later, the nuclear power plant was built and operated with different functions in England. Nuclear technological model became the trend for energy throughout the world, even though the production cost was expensive in 7 and until 80s. Finally, Chernobyl disaster in 1986 had made human beings thinking over a nuclear usage as a power plant. The next event is that in 1993, the United States attacked Baghdad. On June 27, 1993, by using long-range missiles, the United States attacked Baghdad and surrounding areas. The attack was launched because the United States accused the Saddam regime to be involved in a suspected assassination of the U.S. former president George Bush Sr. when visiting Kuwait in April in the same year. In the attack, 6 Iraqi civilians were killed and Iraqi security office was destroyed. The last event is that in 1997, Rahmonov and Abdullah Nur signed peace agreement. On June 27, 1997, President of Tajikistan, Imam Ali Rahmonov, and leader of Islamic struggle of the country, Abdullah Nur, signed peace agreement in Moscow, Russia. By the agreement, civil war in Tajikistan ended. A year later, after the independence of Tajikistan in 1991, following the fall down of Soviet Union, there appeared conflict among groups which wanted to be run by Islamic government in Tajikistan with pro-Russian growth. Finally, the conflict erupted to be civil war, which caused many casualties. The United Nations, Iran, and Russia tried to be mediator between the two groups, which finally succeeded to pass the signing of the agreement in 1997. Based on the agreement, 30% of government positions were given to Islamic groups, and their Islamic soldiers were involved in Tajikistan military. In addition, an amendment was made to the Tajikistan constitution which accommodates the will of Islamic groups. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sempurna, kau cinta aku selamanya dan Semua tentang diriku, kau katakan padaku, jangan ragukan cintamu. Semua hanya rangkaian kata yang kau sebar ke semua wanita. Oh, bodohnya ku sempat percaya. Semua yang kita punya nyata, kamu dan semua kata-katamu semua palsu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kilohertz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Indonesia Voices the Handling of Plastic Waste. Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar said, Indonesia was very instrumental in handling plastic waste at sea. Moreover, she considered Indonesia successfully to lead in voicing the issue at the international level, supported by actions both regionally and nationally. Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar revealed this
after participating in the Berbersih Ciliwung or Ciliwung Cleanup Movement in Cibinong Bogor Regency, West Java, on Sunday, June 23. Indonesia is not left behind to commit on plastic waste handling and even has a presidential regulation for its action plan. Minister Siti Nurbaya moreover said that effort to reduce plastic waste have been carried out starting from the issuance of a presidential regulation specifically about handling marine plastic waste, practices carried out by the regional government to reduce the use of plastic waste has also existed. But the minister admitted that only about 30 cities and districts had applied the rules for plastic waste. The National Action Plan regarding plastic waste already exists through presidential regulations and regional regulations. Nearly 80% of the regions already have action plans for reducing plastic waste in the degree of each regional head. Minister Siti Nurbaya also reminded, in the meeting between countries related to the handling marine pollution, it was determined that Bali became a regional center for handling sea clean. Previously, 10 heads of state and government of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN member countries ratified the Bangkok Declaration on Combating Marine Waste in the ASEAN region. In the document, ASEAN heads of state agreed to strengthen action at the national level, as well as through collaborative actions among ASEAN member countries and partners to significantly prevent and reduce marine waste, especially from land-based activities. The heads of state and government of ASEAN agreed to encourage an integrated land-to-sea reclamation to prevent and reduce marine waste. They also determined to strengthen national laws and regulations and enhance regional and international cooperation, including dialogue on policy and the exchange of relevant information. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sahabat sejatiku, hilangkah dari ingatanmu di hari kita saling berbagi. Dengan kotak sejuta mimpi, aku datang menghampirimu. Kuperlihatkan semua hartaku. Kita selalu berpendapat, kita ini yang terhebat. Sombongan di masa muda yang indah. Aku raja, kau pun raja. Aku hitam, kau pun hitam. Arti teman lebih dari sekedar materi. Pegang pundakku, jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku mulai lelah, lelah dan tak bersinar, yeah. Sayapku jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku ingin terbang, terbang meninggalkanmu, yeah, yeah. Oh. Ku selalu menanyakanmu, kau pun selalu menyanjungku. Aku dan kamu darah abadi. Demi bermain bersama, kita duakan segalanya. Merdeka kita, kita merdeka. Pegang pundakku, jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku mulai lemah, lelah dan tak bersinar. Remas sayapku, jangan pernah lepaskan, yeah. Bila ku ingin terbang, terbang meninggalkanmu, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I will let you know Padua dance from East Nusa Tenggara province. On June 28 to 30, 2019, a festival with the theme Indonesia Festival will be conducted in Norway. In the festival, as many as 12 students of senior high school from Sabu Raijua Regency, East Nusa Tenggara, will promote traditional dance. The four dances which will be promoted in the event are Padua, Ledo Hauru, Haba Koorai, and Podogo Aru dances. In today's edition, I introduce you one of the dances, namely Padua dance. Padua dance is one of traditional dances from Sabu Raijua, East Nusa Tenggara. The ritual dance is usually performed together by female and male dancers. The dance is conducted at the end of rainy season in full moon night. The dancers gather at a place, form a circle, then dancing and singing while praying. In addition, for ritual ceremony, the Padua dance is also aimed at looking for mate. In the performance of Padua dance, the dancers wear traditional clothes. The female dancers wearing typical clothes, namely A, which is tied to the chest and covering the legs. The female hair is bun in Sabu traditional styles. They are also competed with accessories such as bracelet, earrings, necklace, and silver belts. While the male dancers wear higihuri, a traditional cloth from Sabu, which are tied on stomach and covered to the knees. The higihuri is also used to cover the upper body, form selampang. For the head accessories, the male dancers wear dastar called vilahipora. All the dancers use container which contained green beans and tied on their legs. Besides, as complementary of the traditional dances, to put the green bean has also another meaning. The people believed if the green beans are still intact after being stabbed by the dancers when dancing, it means the seeds have good quality to be planted in the next season. Padua dance is generally only accompanied by song dedicated by a poet. Sound of the music only comes from the containers on the dancer's legs. Now listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tersirat dalam angan tuk tak pernah terjadi pertemuan manis itu.
Kini rasaku pun berucap jelas aku tak ingin lagi melihatmu. Kini semua terlalu pekat untuk dikenang dalam angan. Lama coba berjalan, nyata tak satu tujuan. Janji-janji bersama menghilang seketika. Lama coba bertahan, benar aku masih cinta, namun bukan begini adanya. Biarlah usai. Tak satu tujuan, janji-janji bersama menghilang seketika. Lama coba bertahan, benar aku masih cinta, namun bukan begini adanya. Biarlah. Ku pun kan terus melaju. Ku lepaskan, tak bertahan. Walau luka tetap nyata.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia for the world. On 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Lenny. In today's edition, the information we would like to present you is that Yogyakarta Shanghai Cultural Center is built at Ketandan Hamlet. Stay tuned. Yogyakarta and Shanghai have established cooperation, namely sister province, since 5 years ago, because both Yogyakarta and Shanghai are special regions led by governors. Shanghai, as the most developed city in China, it has established many kinds of cooperation with Yogyakarta. Take for example, cooperation in cultural field, which has been agreed recently, is the development of Yogyakarta Shanghai Cultural Center at Ketandan Hamlet. The Yogyakarta Shanghai Cultural Center is a manifestation of the sister city program that has been established by the Yogyakarta and Shanghai governments. In addition, experts of the governor of Yogyakarta in the fields of law, government and politics, Umar Priyono, stated that the sister city province collaboration through the cultural center is expected to better introduce Yogyakarta to the Chinese population and open new tourism potential. This cultural center will later be built in the Chinatown of Ketandan, Malioboro, Yogyakarta. In the Yogyakarta Shanghai Cultural Center building, we will witness various cultural, educational, trade, and all kinds of activities that support cooperation in the sister city province framework. Regional Secretary of Yogyakarta Gatot Saptadi said that so far Yogyakarta's cultural arts have been often sent and displayed in China to affirm the existence of Yogyakarta. However, permanent building is currently being pioneered. It is hoped that the Chinese side can support Yogyakarta to introduce it to all Chinese people. The expert staff of the governor of Yogyakarta in the fields of law, government, and politics, Umal Priyono, added that the procurement of this cooperation facility is expected that the Chinese side will also provide the same facility. That was our segment for today, Miss Lenny. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dari yang sudah-sudah, cinta hanyalah bualan. Dari yang sudah-sudah, hanya rasa tanpa tujuan. Aku ingin berhenti, lelah aku mengaruh. Bersandar menikmati bintang berpijar sampai nanti, sampai kita bertemu kembali sampai nanti cahayamu menuntunku lagi. Jangkar sudah terjatuh, aku sudah benar-benar luluh. Yang aku lihat terang, yang ku lihat masa depan. Hangat dalam dekapan, aku merasa sedang ku. Sampai nanti, sampai kita bertemu kembali. Sampai nanti, cahayamu menuntunku lagi. Jangkar sudah terjatuh, aku sudah benar-benar. Kapalku telah bersaung, aku tak ingin jauh. Padamulah aku akan berlabuh. Sampai nanti, sampai kita bertemu kembali.
sampai nanti cahayamu menuntunku lagi. Jangkar sudah terjatuh, aku sudah benar-benar yang sudah-sudah. Hanya kaulah arti rumah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bahagianya hatiku saat ku duduk berdua denganmu. Berjalan bersamamu, menarilah denganku. Namun bila hari ini adalah yang terakhir, namun ku tetap bahagia. Selalu kusyukuri, begitulah adanya. Namun bila kau ingin sendiri, cepat-cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku, agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersamamu dalam terik dan hujan, berlarian ke sana kemari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba, temani diriku. Cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku, agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersama dalam kesana kemari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba, izinkan ku menjaga dirimu, berdua menikmati pelukan di ujung waktu. Sudilah kau temani diriku, menjadi. Istriku.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I present a song to you entitled Hatimu Hatiku by Titik Sandora, featuring Mohsin Alatas. Titik Sandora began to popular since she dedicated a song titled Hatimu Hatiku. The song was played almost every day on the radio in the 1960s. After that, the singer with her real name, Umiati, collaborated with Mohsin Alatas, who later became her husband until at present. One of their famous songs titled Hatimu Hatiku. This song became hits at that time and increasingly brought up her name. The song, which was composed by A. Hasan and Is Haryanto, tells the heart feeling of a couple lover who love each other. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Hatimu Hatiku by Titik Sandora featuring Mohsin Alatas.
Of Indonesia.
mogok namanya ku berikan. Keluar bengkel sebulan masuk lagi. Kata kawanku, jangan itu dong namanya. Dengan alasan ayahnya nanti marah. Mogok lagi apaan? Suatu hari ku pergi ke rumahnya. Ku membawa kapur untuk menulis. Lalu ku tulis di pintu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.